Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Jesus is mighty to save. So if you are part of that first group, which is going to be Cade and Sophie, if you guys want to come on up, and we're going to, if you've been here before, you kind of know how we've done this. You guys can grab a mic either side, doesn't matter, and we'll make sure that your volume's up high enough. Make sure you talk into the mic because everybody wants to hear you. They don't want to hear me. They want to hear you guys. And so what we do is I'm going to ask Cade and Sophie a few questions. For those who don't know, they both were baptized this past year, making professions of faith in Christ and choosing to follow him and make that public through baptism. And so I want to just ask, and you can either one of you can pop in and answer anytime, how has God changed your life since you put your faith in him and were baptized? It's always a competition about who gets to speak first, right?
What?
Fine, I'll talk. What was the question again?
How has God changed your life since you put your faith in him and were baptized?
Thank you. I have been more willing to do chores, which is not fun, and just been more willing to do things when I've been asked to, like, perform with the big people up here for Sunday morning.
Good. Okay. And your mom says amen to that, right? She's glad that you're more willing to do chores. How about you, Cade?
Well, it wasn't as much things that I do. It's more of a mindset. I wasn't in the mindset of a Christian. I was more in the mindset of a non-Christian before. But it was all my heart that changed. My perception of God and Jesus, and it obviously changed for the better. So that's how my life changed.
Amen. I mean, that's a good thing, guys, that, you know, when somebody is as young as Cade and Sophie are, when they come to really fully surrender their lives to Jesus, thankfully not as much needs to change than what would need to change in some of the rest of our lives when we're older. You know, they haven't developed some of the terrible bad habits that maybe we develop by the time we're adults. And so sometimes you ask that question to kids or to teenagers, and you're thinking, well, what has changed? There's changes, of course, but they don't need to be as drastic because they're not doing a lot of the really foolish things that we do, like I was when I was 20 years old and I became a Christian. And so praise God for how he's working in your heart and in your chores, right? So that's good. Has trusting in and following, if this is a question that you might get asked maybe by somebody that doesn't come to church or somebody that looks at you at school and says, what are you guys doing that for? Has trusting and following Jesus been worth it to you, and why? Has it been worth it to trust and follow Jesus? Because it's not easy, right? So has it been worth it, and why?
What do you mean by worth it?
Well, like, it's if you didn't follow Jesus, life in a lot of ways would be a lot easier, right? And so you're giving up everything. You're surrendering yourself to Jesus. And so is that surrender worth it, and why?
For me, it's been worth it because by accepting Christ, I've gained a whole family of people who can support me and just...
I can agree with that. I mean, you gain all of Christianity. Everybody that is also a Christian, you gain them, and you also gain Jesus as a friend and a companion that won't leave you. So, I mean, worth it giving up my whole life? Yeah. Worth it for salvation? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good recap of the last 2 weeks' sermons if you've been here on Sunday mornings. Our church is our family, and our world is our mission, and so, we see that in what they're talking about here, just in those statements. So thank you,
You're
guys.
Welcome.
How have you endured and stuck with it this past year? It can be tough to continue to follow Jesus. There's a lot of temptations. There's a lot of things that pull us in different directions. So how have you been able to endure, and you're still here, you're still sticking with it? How is that?
Well, the family of Christ, the church, I mean, that's a big help, using them as a backing, as a stiff backing for your faith to keep you accountable and keep you on the right track.
One way to do it is I'm in the youth praise band, and it has been, like, helpful for me and my faith to come and help and learn from Preston and Parker, who isn't here. And it helps me like stay focused, I guess, because I like to play piano, and so it helps me come here to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys are giving good testimonies of how much we need one another, right, in the body of Christ, and that first and foremost, like you said earlier, Cade, we have Christ, and we need him above all, but we also need each other, and this is a good testimony of that. And then the last question I want to ask you guys before we sing another song in a few minutes, what would you say to someone else who has yet to trust in Jesus, but maybe they're considering making a decision? And so they're like, yeah, you know, and you can understand this, Cade, because you kind of struggled with this before you made the decision. So if somebody's kind of considering making that decision, I'm not sure if I really want to give up my life and follow Christ, what would you say to them? They're thinking about it, but they haven't made the decision yet.
Spend the time to research it. Actually look at the facts. And, I mean, if you're comparing it to evolution and that way of that worldview, then do your research. Look at the facts and see what is really true. Because if you really look hard at the theory of evolution, you'll find that there's large holes in it, and they can't be explained except by a creator and a creation view. And yeah, just, I mean, if you're a factual kind of person, look at the facts, and you'll always prove creation to be true.
I would tell people to get, like, I've said you gain a whole family by accepting, but get, like, a close one. That doesn't have to be your parents or your actual family, but just, like, close friends, and talk to them about when they accepted Christ, and just have them pray for you to help you, like, get through it.
Okay, good. Thank you, guys. Yeah, why don't we give these guys a hand for being willing to come up here. You know, we say this every year. We don't make people, yeah, you guys can have a seat. We don't make people, when they come to know Jesus and they get baptized, we don't say, well, you have to come up here and talk in January when we do our New Life Celebrate. We like it to, and we ask everybody to, but we realize not everybody can stand up in front of a group. And, you know, I was telling somebody before the service tonight, I'd much rather you be able to talk with your friends, your classmates, your family members about Jesus than be able to stand up here on a Sunday evening in a service and talk about it, because you're going to have much more of an impact in your everyday conversations, again and again, talking about your faith in Jesus. And we all need to be able to do that. Not all of us are going to be comfortable standing in front of a group of people and doing it, but we can all talk with our friends and family, coworkers, classmates about Jesus. So I want to thank Cade and Sophie for, it takes a lot of courage to come up here and do that, and thank you guys, and thank you for sharing some awesome stories of how God's been working in your life. Let's continue to worship the Lord together. And you can be seated. I want to ask if Matthew and Penny and Robert would come up, and you might remember we had, I think it was 10, a couple people couldn't be here tonight, out of town, and then a couple others, one sick, and one, a couple are just not quite as adventurous as to come up and talk. But we had 10 people get baptized in 2019, and we want to pray for more and more. And you know, the number isn't what's important, because every single person that gets baptized is a blessing from the Lord, and obviously a great gift of grace and mercy that He has shown. So, but we want to pray for more and more, and not necessarily that we're trying to build more numbers, but so that we would see more and more people hear and respond to the gospel. And that's our prayer for 2020. And so I encourage you to do that tonight. Matthew and Penny and Robert are going to share as well. So I want to kind of ask you guys the same questions that we asked Cade and Sophie. How has God changed your life since you put your faith in Him and were baptized this past year?
Well, He's definitely taken a lot of stress away, for sure, and you know, made things a lot easier for me.
Good.
Oh, you got your own. All right.
She's got her own mic.
All right.
I know that's especially true for Matthew, because he waited around a long time for me to accept Christ. So yeah, that had to take a big burden off of him. Personally, for me, I don't think I've ever in my life felt as comfortable within my own skin and my head and my soul than now. At this point in my life, it's absolutely amazing, and I really wish other people got it. I really do.
Yeah, I love that, because that's such a great testimony, Penny, of how we were created for the Lord, and so we're never going to be fully satisfied, fully content, fully comfortable in our own skin, like you said, until we're in Him, until He's in us. And so what a great, yeah, thank you, guys. Robert?
I had peace and being conscious of my actions and trying to be better, knowing that I did wrong and need to improve.
Yeah, Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, make sure you guys, I forgot to tell Kate and Sophie this, make sure you hold that mic right up there close so everybody can hear you. How has, kind of the same question I asked them, you know, if you have people that are kind of hesitant, they're thinking, well, you know, I hear about things that Christians face in other parts of the world or even in this country, has following Christ been worth it and why?
Definitely it's been worth it. Like I said, if you focus on Jesus, it just makes life so much simpler, you know, because you only have to focus on one thing. If you put your trust in Him and rely on Him for your help and everything, then it just, it makes life so much easier.
Amen.
I agree. It's to not feel the stress that I used to feel. I mean, it's still there. It's going to be there every day. But for me to be able to pause and pray and just ask for help and know that there's a friend, a confidant, someone there with me whenever I ask, without exception, is incredibly important. So, yeah.
For me, it was, yes, but I have selfish reasons. I wanted the mercy and the grace, so.
Well, we need the mercy and the grace, so yeah, while that might be a little selfish, we all need it, so there's nothing wrong with saying that for sure. And I want to say, because I know Matthew and Penny well enough to know, I want to clarify, when Matthew was saying life is so much easier, he's not saying that following Jesus is easy, but I know what you mean. You're talking about, you know, we the world around us, we could have this, we could have this, we could have this, but I love what you said. It's just so much simpler. Follow Jesus, and He makes everything straight if we would just trust Him rather than trying to figure it all out on our own. And that's what's easier about it. And so I appreciate that about you guys, because you've talked a lot about that in your testimonies this past year, just about how, you know, when we try to do all these other things our own way and try to figure it out, it makes a mess, doesn't it?
It does.
And yet when we just simply put our faith in Jesus, it's so much better. So thank you guys. How about in the past year, how have you endured? How have you stuck with it? Despite the trials, the temptations, the distractions, how have you guys stuck with it? How have you endured?
Well, for me, I you know, live in a truck, and so it's pretty easy to keep all the negative out if I, you know, just keep driving. But I listen to, you know, sermons on the radio. I stay in the Bible. I travel to other states and go to other churches for, like, you know, the Bible studies and stuff, like out in Vegas, the church, you know, you were telling me about. And so they've kind of adopted me. And the truck stop ministries, and, you know, talk to people and friends on the phone, and it just totally stayed engrossed in the Bible and His Word.
Amen.
For me, it's been reading the Bible, asking you questions. Did you know I've come to you? I have a little notebook. I write all my notes and everything down. Funny enough, song. Because I was raised as a Catholic. I don't know if you guys know that. And to me, singing like this in church, you were kind of like, you were just waiting for that lightning bolt to come down. You didn't sing. You sat down and you did what you stood up, sit down, okay, kneel, the whole bit. So for me, having song, Channel 63 on Sirius Radio, the Gospels, love it. Absolutely love it. I'll be driving down the road. I think people think I'm crazy because I'm driving down the road. A song will come out. I'll get tears dripping down off my chin. I'm sure people are going, But it's really, really good. Song has become very important to me for talking to God. It's great.
No, I don't think that's, what did you say? You might think that's crazy, or you said something. I don't think that's crazy at all, because I think that's the way God created us. And, you know, not only does music speak to our hearts when we sing songs of praise and worship, but we're commanded to sing. You know, the Bible commands us to sing, and that's a sign of God's Spirit changing us. So that's a great, great example of how to endure. Praise God, you know, sing through song.
Discipleship group has been very helpful, and serving here in the church with the audio and the lighting and helping out with Team Kid and just being a servant.
Yeah, Robert's a great example, and really all three of these, Penny and both of these guys, are great examples of using gifts that God has given you to serve and being willing to serve. And sometimes even serving in areas that maybe nobody else wants to, but you're willing to step up and do that. And I appreciate that you mentioned discipleship groups, because I think that reminder of our need for one another, that need for accountability, kind of going along with what Sophie and Kate said earlier, you know, we need each other. And so that's a good testimony of that. And what would you say to someone else who has yet to trust in Jesus? Maybe they're thinking about it, they're pondering it, but they haven't made that decision. What would you say to encourage them?
Well, look at your options, you know. I mean, if I live a good Christian life and die, you know, trusting Jesus in a good Christian life, and there is no afterlife, then I've lost nothing. I've lived a good life. But on the flip side of that coin, you know, if I just go out willy-nilly and do what I want when I want, and I die, and there is an afterlife, then I've lost everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how I think about it.
A little Pascal's wager for us, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
Yep, that's what he said, yep. Penny?
Personally, from my aspect of it, is question. I'm forever, Pastor Nick knows this, I'm going through my Bible with my notebook, and I'll read something, and I'll go back and read it again. I'm looking stuff up, and what's the definition of this word, and what does this mean, and question it. If you're an analytical mind, you're never going to be satisfied unless you can have an answer to what's bugging you. If it's gnawing at you, it's not going to fit. So do that, and oddly enough, pray. They may not be thinking about it, that it's going to be answered or anything's going to happen because of it, but it's really surprising if you do. So give it a try. What is it going to hurt?
Talk to the Lord, yeah. I love how both, it's interesting this past year, both Kate and Penny, they're both very analytical. They think through a lot of things. And so seeing them go through the process, because they both clearly admitted to me before coming to Christ that they hadn't yet trusted in Christ. There was something holding them back. There was something they hadn't, and it's because they were thinking through a lot of things. And they were searching, and God helped them. God, and I think ultimately for both of them, it was through God's word, through people in their lives that really loved them and prayed for them and shared with them. Kate's family, Penny's family, of course, some friends, but also just digging into God's word and searching for those answers. And God's word never returns unto him void, does it? Nope. So praise God for that. Robert?
I use the same thing. I would try to use the Bible and try to help point them towards the answers if they had questions.
Yeah, and you're very similar to Penny too, and you had a lot of great questions as you thought through this, going from just, if you don't mind, Rob, I'm gonna put you on the spot, because I know you went from kind of atheist to agnostic to follower of Jesus. What was that process like?
Bumpy road.
Bumpy road.
Yeah.
Hold the mic up.
Caught me off guard here.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't prepare Robert for this question. It just came to me because I thought of this one.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I didn't know whether or not there was a God, so that's kind of innocence and youth. But then when I got into like high school, I figured there was no God. And then actually, I got to a point where I actually did not like God. I hated God. But through my wife and lots of time with church, they've revealed to me the truth. So,
praise the Lord. That's awesome. Do you guys have anything else you want to add or share?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Let's give them a hand for stepping up here. And you guys can have a seat. I'm gonna share for just a few minutes. I want to do something that's kind of twofold. I want to both share something that I think all of us need to hear constantly and be reminded of constantly. But I also want this to be something that's helpful. If you're here tonight and you're hearing Robert and Matthew and Penny and you're hearing Cade and Sophie and you're hearing their stories and you're thinking, you know, I'm not there yet. What do they mean? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? This peace or this satisfaction, this lifestyle that they're talking about. And so I'm hoping that maybe tonight this will help you. We've used this before. We've encouraged this. We've given out the Life Three Circles Conversation Guide. What I would encourage you to do is look on your, and this is even right now, I'm giving you permission if you want to get out your smartphones and to search for Life on Mission app and download it and put it on your phone. It's free and it's such a great resource to share the gospel with people that you have everyday conversations. You give it out and just, or you open it up and it's just really easy. You swipe and you show the different things that I want to go through tonight. Just to think about the gospel, because we never hear the gospel enough to be over it, to be past it. We just dive deeper and deeper into the gospel as followers of Jesus. And of course, when we say gospel, what we mean is the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. It's the only message that saves, because Jesus is the only Savior who came and lived a perfect life and died for our sins and rose again. And so we want to go deeper and deeper into that truth and be challenged to respond in faith to that truth. And so if you think about the way that God created everything, and we do this on Sunday mornings. I try on Sunday mornings at the end of every message to just do a little quick 2-minute refresher on what is the gospel so that we know and we have that constantly in our minds. How can I have a conversation with somebody about Jesus and share? If all they knew is what I told them, would they know enough to spend eternity with God? Would they know enough to be made right with God? You know, we can't just say, you got to get saved. You got to go to church. It's okay to say those things, but we need to explain. We need to expound on that so that they know enough of how can I be saved? How can I have a right relationship with God? And so we know that the reality is God's design, his creation is, he's perfect. And so God didn't mess anything up. And so we look at the world around us, we say, well, if God is God, and some of the questions that for example, Robert was asking before he came to faith, you know, why would God allow this to happen? If God is God, why this, why that? And of course, we know why. It's called sin. The why of the problems around us is the sin that's in our own hearts. When somebody asks me what's wrong with the world today, really the quick and easy answer that I can give is to say, I'm what's wrong with the world today. Me. You don't want to know what's wrong with the world today? Me. I'm what's wrong with the world today because of sin in my heart. That's what's wrong with the world today because sin is everywhere. And sin has messed up God's perfect design. And so because of sin, there's brokenness. And we know that really, is there anything more painful, anything more devastating in life than broken relationships, than broken promises, than brokenness that's all around us? Because brokenness is everywhere. Not a single one of us, no matter how good our life is, not a single one of us can say, you know, I've never experienced brokenness, never been disappointed, you know, never had a promise broken, never made a promise and broke it, never messed up, never had anybody mess up against me, never had anybody say anything mean, never had any relationships damaged. No, of course, we all understand. We can all relate to brokenness. And every single person that you talk with in your everyday life is either going through devastating brokenness or has been through devastating brokenness. Whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a divorce that they've gone through, whether it's somebody who has treated them wrongly, whether it's maybe they've had a terrible situation at work. I mean, we could start listing it off and we would run out of time before we would run out of answers of all the different ways that we experience brokenness. And so when you have a conversation with someone, that's an easy open door because you can say, you know what, God didn't want it that way. I mean, that's not, God's design is perfect. He's perfect. But it's our sin that caused brokenness. And so the good news is that there is a solution. There is an answer. The gospel is real. And so the gospel is that Jesus, despite our brokenness, in fact, really because of our brokenness and because of his love for us, Jesus came to this earth. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because we know that Romans 3 tells us that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, so we're all broken, right? None of us can get back to this perfect plan that God has because of the sin. And so the sin pushes us further and further away from God. And yet the gospel exists, and so that if we repent of our sins, and repentance is just simply doing a 180 in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. And so we're walking this way, figuratively speaking and literally walking away from God, and he gets a hold of our hearts, and we turn. We do a 180, and we begin to walk with him. We begin to walk with Christ. And when we walk with Christ, we believe the gospel. We believe that there's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing anyone can do. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We believe that he rose from the dead, and that simply by trusting in him, not trying to climb the ladder, right? We can go to church every Sunday. You can do all the right things seemingly and try to climb that ladder, but the ladder never gets you there. You just keep climbing, and yet we're not getting anywhere because that's why Jesus came. We can't do enough to get to God. Jesus came because we're all sinners, and we need to be made right. And so when we repent of our sins, we believe in Jesus Christ, that's when the gospel takes over our lives. That's what Sophie and Cade and Elena and Liam and Mark and Penny and Matthew and Tilly, who couldn't be here, and Haley, that's what they've experienced this past year, when God has changed their hearts in a way that only he can, that I can't fix, you can't fix, but God can. And so that's the good news, is that when we trust and believe the gospel, God restores us into our relationship with God. So the promise is that one day it's going to be God's design again. It's going to be his perfect plan. It, you know, we talk about on Sunday mornings, we're going to be restored. Everything's going to be back to the way it was supposed to be. But the good news also is that right now we can begin to experience that. That's what I love how Penny said that. You know, she's never felt so comfortable in her own skin. And that's a wording that I'm not sure I've ever heard before, at least when talking about the Lord. But I mean, it's a good example of why is that? Because God created us for himself. And so it's not just that we have the promise of eternal life in the future, which is true in Christ. But right now, we begin to experience that new life. We begin to long for, we pursue, as the illustration shows, we begin to pursue that relationship with God. It becomes our desire, our longing. And that's why Matt was talking about it. It's so much simpler. Just follow Jesus and everything else. All the other distractions, all the other temptations, all the other problems, they just kind of fade away. Like the song, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. That's what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. And so even though the promise is for the future, ultimately for all of eternity, we begin to experience it now if we have a relationship with Christ. And so tonight, if you haven't yet made that decision to follow Jesus, in just a moment, we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And what a great song in response to the gospel message, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And so if you need to make that decision to repent of your sins, to turn away from your sins and follow Jesus, I'm going to be up front as we sing this song, and I want to invite you to come and make that decision to follow Jesus. And maybe you just want to pull somebody aside. Maybe you're here with family or friends that you're comfortable with, and you just want to say, hey, will you come and pray with me? I want to do what Robert and Penny and Matthew and Cade and Sophie talked about. I want to make that decision to follow Jesus. Father God, I pray that tonight you would be honored and glorified in our church, that you would be honored and glorified in Matthew and Penny and Robert and Sophie and Cade's lives. I thank you for their willingness to share tonight. I thank you for Elena and Liam, for Mark, for Tilly, who couldn't be here, and for Haley. I thank you, God, that you are a God who saves. You are mighty to save, as we sang about. And Father, that the victory that we have in Jesus, that beats all victories, because it's not just a victory for today, which we can begin to experience now, but it's a victory for all of eternity. It's a victory that can never be taken away because of the power of your Holy Spirit working in us and because of the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. So we thank you for the victory that's in Jesus. We thank you that you change hearts, that you change lives, that we don't have to fix our problems, but you do. So, Father, I pray tonight for the believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ who are here, that we would be passionate about this message of the gospel, that we would use simple tools like this, like the Life on Mission Three Circles app, and use things like that to talk to people, to share our story, to share our testimony, and to challenge people to trust in you. And Father, for those who are here tonight who haven't yet made that decision to follow Jesus, Father, let them, as we are about to sing, let them decide to follow Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.